That should have me on. Okay. It's good to have you with us today. It's good to be back. And wasn't sure whether we were going to be back today or not. And we thought it was best last week to just go virtual on the broadcast. And I appreciate Brother Eric. I mentioned it already. I appreciate him covering. He did a good job. We were able to listen to him from home, and we appreciate him doing that. And we're glad to be gathered back together and start gathering back together. We thought we would give it a little time, and so we're thankful that the Lord's worked out, and we continue to pray for all those that's going through different issues in their life. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter number 3. Hope you listened to the Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother Eric, last couple times on Sunday school, he's been dealing with the mind. And you know, the last couple days, we've had a couple days in this new administration. I've had people pass by and say, did you see what he signed? Did you see what he's going to do? Did you see what he's and where they're going to go and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it? And if you let it, it's enough to drive you crazy. And if you think, and many things that they do, you know, is going to be harmful to the country. Many things you know is going to come back and have repercussions. Also, I've had people say, how long do you think it'll be until they turn and start trying to persecute the church and Christians? I said, well, you know, that would probably come. It'll probably come along the lines of preaching against homosexuality or something along those lines, and that's probably the way they'll try to get into it. So what are we going to do? And Brother Eric was preaching this morning about your mind, your mindset. You know, you can have a glass of water and it can be half empty or half full, and you can either appreciate the fact that it's half full or you can complain the fact that it's half empty, and you have to look and see. So today what I want to do is I want to preach upon this thought, and it's very simple, and I want the young people to listen to me, because the way the devil defeats us is to get us to doubt God. And sometimes, especially if we're going through times of trials, sickness, maybe even issues and tribulations, the Bible assures us that we shall have tribulation. But we are supposed to be of good cheer. We're still supposed to keep a mindset of having the glass half full. The Bible says also, Paul said in Romans chapter 5, and we'll probably look at that later on, that we can glory in tribulations. We can even have a spirit where we glory even when we go through that. How can we do that? By not forgetting who we are. The devil, sometimes he comes to us, especially young Christians, when things aren't going the way that you think they ought to go or things that you think would be better, he gets you to try to question things of God. And he'll even go as far as try to get you to question your own salvation. Today I want to touch upon salvation. I want each of you to listen to me, because until you know you're saved and you understand what salvation is, then you'll never be able to do anything for God, because you'll be flip-flopping all the time, wondering in a double mind. And so this morning I want to look at some things, and I want to share some thoughts with you that the Lord laid upon my heart. Because usually, it's not a matter of, I've seen people come and they say, I've seen them come and say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. I'm beginning to have doubts. And sometimes the first thing the preacher does is bring them down and say, well, let's go through and pray through the things again. You can pray 1,000 prayers. That doesn't save you. Faith is the only thing that saves you. And so you have to understand where and what faith is and how it goes about to save you and how God looks upon it. And so hopefully we'll be able to look, and we'll try to keep it simple so you can follow with me. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 3, and keep your Bibles open to the book of Romans. We're going to go several places. Romans chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse number 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? By faith of Jesus Christ, unto who? All and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So right off the bat, we want to understand salvation is available to every person regardless of what they have done. To every person, there is no difference. Look at, in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified, and I want you to take note of that little word justified. We're going to get on that in a little bit. Justified freely. Notice that word freely. By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Now remember that little word propitiation. We're coming back to that. Through faith, there's that word faith again, in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, that is, that God would be just in doing this, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. In other words, not only is God going to be just in what he's decided to do, he's going to be able to justify those who believe. Look in verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. In other words, you've got nothing to boast about in your works. That's why the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our boasting doesn't come from what we've done to be saved. Our boasting comes in what Jesus did to allow us to be saved by God's grace. And so we need to remember that it's by the law of faith, not by the law of works. Look in verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so, therefore, he reminds us that we are justified by faith and not by the deeds of the law. This morning, I want to look at four different things here that we brought up and we mentioned that I hope will help us in days to come. And it will help us because as we are facing things, it'll be awful easy if you get your mind and your eyes upon what's happening in Washington, D.C., what's happening in America, you're liable to get all distraught and you're liable to get all depressed and discouraged. But we are to be encouraged. We are to look and not forget who we are. And let's talk about a couple of things. And those of you who may be young in faith and so forth, I want you to listen. Maybe you're here and you're not saved and you never made a profession of faith. I want you to listen this morning as well. Now, I want you to understand what it means to be saved. First of all, notice if you would, the Bible speaks in verse number 23 and reminds us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look back, if you would, in verse 10 of chapter 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So first of all, the thing that we, if we're going to be saved, the first thing that we have to confront is our sin. We have to understand that we are sinners. Christ come to save sinners, not those of us that could save ourselves. None of us has the ability to save ourselves, and we not only have to see our sin and recognize we have sin, but the Holy Ghost was given here and sent that it would help us to be able to see and recognize how sinful we really are. It convicts us of our sin. In other words, what it does when it convicts us of our sin, it lets us see what we are, but it lets us see what we are before a holy, just God. It condemns us, and we realize that we are guilty. We realize that we are lost. We realize that we are under the wrath of God, the condemnation of God, and therefore we stand separated from God because of our sins. And we realize, and the Holy Ghost of God lets us realize that because we are sinners, if we are going to go to heaven, we must be born again. So therefore, the Holy Ghost of God comes and he helps us in our sin. So every one of us who are saved, we must have confidence in our spiritual conversion, and we must have a time and place that we can go back to when we dealt with ourselves as sinners before a holy God. And the Holy Spirit of God not only come and convicted us of our sin, but he also was able to lift up Jesus. Now, if you notice here, the Bible says in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare righteousness for the remission of sins. Now, propitiation means that God, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, that the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that they all agreed and they were all in unity as one with what they were going to do with our sin. God the Father so loved us and had grace upon us that was going to sin, that he made a way that God the Son could come and take on a human body and die in our place and become our propitiation, our substitute, by God's love, through God's grace, and he would become a sacrifice through his blood. Not the blood that run through his veins while he walked upon the earth, but the shedding of his blood upon the cross of Calvary that he died for us. And through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he made a way that we might be saved. Not only that we might be saved, but the whole world could be saved. And so therefore, now listen, this is important. Salvation is not an act of man. Salvation is an act of God. God sent his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary to make a way that we could be saved. When the Bible says that we believe, that means that we believe not only in our head, but in our heart, according to Romans chapter 10. We believe in our heart that God not only sent Son, but he died, was buried, and he rose again for our sins to fulfill the prophecy that God had set forth that his Son would be able to come and give life to everyone who believeth. And so therefore, what we have to understand is this, our confidence, now listen to me, this is important. Your confidence is not in you. Your confidence is in Jesus. His finished work is what saved you, not you. The only thing that connected you to Jesus and his finished work is your faith. Believing the record that the Trinity of God has left for us in the Word of God. And so therefore, we find all three of them at work in leaving us that testimony. And that's why through the preaching of the Word of God, I can be who I am. Brother Eric can be who he is. We can preach the Word of God, and it's God even uses by the foolishness of our preaching to save those that believe. The Holy Ghost of God is able to take the Word, and it become alive unto you. It become a sharp two-edged sword that cuts you and convicts you and shows you your sin. And then he begins to draw you as he to you to Jesus, and he shows you Jesus' finished work. And when you step out by faith, believing that Jesus was able to die for your sins and he can save you, when you put your faith in him, that is where you are saved. You're saved in the finished work of Jesus. Some people say, well, I'm going to come down. I've had people come. It's a preacher, I come down to pray through. And man, they'd sat here for hours. I had one guy one time, he tried to stay here for an hour and he wanted to stay for another. I said, listen, you're wasting your time. You're not going to pray through. It's simply this. When you have doubts and you have gone and there's a place and time when you have put your faith and trust in Christ and you know that you believe in him and the devil calls you to have doubts, what you need to do is this. Understand that you will fail yourself. But God's promises will never fail. And he's promised you our salvation is based upon what Jesus did, not upon what you did. And so therefore, when I face the world, I don't face it in me. I face it in my confidence in Jesus. I am going to heaven because of what he did, not because of what I am able to do. Because what I am able to do, I will fail at certain times. And so therefore, always remember, it's a problem with your faith, not praying. And so therefore, once you've asked the Lord to come into your heart and save you, you don't come and ask him to repeat that because that can't be repeated. What your problem is a lack of faith in Jesus and his ability to give you eternal life, because he has promised eternal life to whosoever would believe. And so when we believe upon Jesus, we believe in Jesus, those prepositions means that we believe in the finished work that he has for us. So therefore, what we need to understand is when the Bible talks about our sin, he talks about the fact that we have sinned and we need to understand it's universal. When he talks about good, none do good. No, not one. You know, the problem that people gets into, and we live right now in a time when the Bible prophesied. People ask me all the time, you believe we got prophecies coming to pass? I believe prophecy's been coming past ever since Jesus wrote it. Amen? But look here. In the beginning, God said, this is good, this is not good. He was a sovereign God. He made the sole decision what was good, what was evil. He even had a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told Adam and Eve, he said, don't eat of the tree. Why? Because it was up to God to declare what was good and what was evil. You remember what the devil did? He come to Eve, he said, listen, he don't want you to eat that because when you eat that, you'll be like a God. You'll know as he is. And so what happened was when they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they sinned. All of a sudden, they saw themselves naked. All of a sudden, they saw the whole world differently. Then all of a sudden, man began, all the way up to the time of Noah when God had destroyed the world, men decided what was good and what was evil. In Isaiah chapter 5, he prophesied in verse 20 and 21 that there would come a time when men would call good evil and evil good. And you know why? They quit and ceased letting God declare what's good and what's evil, and they've determined for themselves. And they've determined just the opposite of what God has said about that. And so therefore, they've declared that they can be good. And by the way, that's what's destroying our children, being taught a humanism that it's up to humans to be good enough that they can save the planet, they can save the world, and they can save themselves, and they don't realize there is none good, no, not one. And so therefore, we come to the point, if we're not good, what can we do when we stand before a holy, just God, and we're going to be condemned? And I've had people ask me, preacher, what do I have to do to be bad enough to go to hell? I said, you don't have to do nothing because you're headed there right now. You are condemned already. Your sin already has you condemned, and there's no hope for you unless you turn to Jesus. And so what happens is the Holy Ghost of God, during the time that he deals with every individual, he not only will convict you and draw you, but he will point and uplift Jesus. And he will let you see, you might not understand all how God did it, but you will see Jesus as your source of salvation. And therefore, that's when you believe in your head and in your heart, and you put your heart and you believe that what God has promised, that if we will call upon him, he'll save us. And we call upon him. Now, notice the Bible says in verse number 24, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And by the way, let me say this. Justified is a legal term. It means that we have been declared righteous. And so we want to look at that just a few moments, and we want to talk about how that we stand before God and what that should do for us, knowing that we are justified. Now, notice if you would, the Bible says that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Even though the whole world could be justified, the only ones that gets to be justified are those who put their faith in Christ. Only when you put your faith in Christ are you then justified. Otherwise, you are condemned. And so the Bible says in verse 26, to declare, I say unto you at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So therefore, again, he reminds us that only the ones that be justified are those that believes in Jesus. Now, to be justified changes their state from being condemned and guilty before God, as we stand before God, to having a relationship and being reconciled to God. Now, looking at this, look on if you would in chapter 4, and notice if you would in verse number 3. The Bible said, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God, knows that little word, imputeth righteousness without works. Now, let me say this, and I want you to understand this. The way that God makes you righteous is he does not impart righteousness to you. When you're born again and saved, he imparts to you a divine nature. The divine nature gives you a divine nature, but you still have your fleshly nature. He does not impart you righteous. In other words, he does not make you righteous. And I've heard people preach, and some denominations try to teach this, that the moment after you get saved, you therefore cannot commit a sin. That's not true. He does not impart to you righteousness. He imputes to you righteousness. Now, the word impute means to divinely transfer. In other words, to take something, and is a spiritual operation. The moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus, what God does is he takes the fact that Jesus was righteous and had no sin, and he takes his righteousness and he imputes it. He divinely transfers it to you, and therefore he has divinely transferred your sins to Jesus, and Jesus had died upon the cross for your sins, and your faith in his finished work is what brought about God to justify you, because you have accepted the gift that God provided to all mankind. Now, when you're justified, God looks at you in a legal term and you are no longer guilty before God. He sees the righteousness of Jesus that's been imputed to you. Look, if you would, in verse 22 of chapter 4. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So again, what we need to understand, people said, preacher, I want to get saved. But it's just too complex. It's this simple. Believe upon Jesus and his finished work. Do you believe that he was the Son of God? You believe he died for your sins? Do you believe that he came to make a way in which you might be saved? You know, people said, well, how much faith? It's not the amount of your faith, it's the object of your faith. You've got to have your faith in Christ. Now, when we do that, when we realize that we have been justified, and remember that justified is by imputation. It was freely given to us. It was imputed to us, not because of our righteousness, but because of Jesus' righteousness. It is a present possession that we now have. Look, if you would, in chapter 5, in verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, because we have been justified through his blood, through his sacrifice, through his propitiation, therefore, we are been saved from wrath. We no longer face the wrath of God. The wrath of God is only for those that have refused to believe. Only those who refuse to put faith and trust in Christ. Look on in verse 9 or 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. In other words, we can now rejoice. So look back, if you would, in your Bibles to chapter 5 a moment. Now I want you to notice this. Verse 1. Therefore, I always said, when you see the word therefore, look and see what it's there for. Go back to chapter 4. Read chapter 4. And it'll let you know. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Okay, so justification, it brings us out of a state of being sinners. It brings us to have ability to have a relationship with God where we are now called his children. Now, because to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them believe upon his name. So therefore, it has brought a peace with God. So look here. I don't know what President Biden may do. I don't even know if President Biden will finish his term. And I don't know if we'll have President Harris. I sure hope not. But I don't know that we won't. And I don't know what may come. But I know this. They may not like what I preach. They may not like where I stand. They may not like what I believe. But I don't have to let that destroy me. Because I am justified, I have peace with God. I got peace with God, I can lay my head down wherever I am and sleep. And I don't have to sit and worry and fret about what they're going to do, how they're going to do. I mean, just think about Paul, all the books there, the epistles of Paul that he wrote in dungeons. And you know what he wrote about? A peace that passes all understanding. When he wrote that, he was in a prison. Matter of fact, not only was he in prison, he was fixing to get his head cut off. And you know what he had? He had a peace that passed all understanding. And all of that, look again, back in your Bibles in chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have what? Access by faith into this grace. Isn't it good to know that we not only have peace with God, but look here. I don't know what may come, but I don't care where I'm at. I've got access to the throne of God to help me anytime I need help. I've got access to call upon God. I can go in anywhere. I mean, somebody can have my hands tied, they can have my mouth tied, and they can have my hands tied and my feet tied and be total dark, and I still have access to the throne of God. And so therefore, here, no one can rob me my peace but me. I have to realize that God is still on the throne. Everything that's going on, he has a purpose for it happening. And therefore, what I need to do is just keep peace with God. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. Keep me from getting nervous. Keep me from getting anxious. That's what I tell these people. They're just scared to death of this virus. And I know the virus is real. I realize and I recognize all those things. But look here. We still have a God in heaven. And we still need to be understanding that God knows all things. And so therefore, we don't need to be nervous. And we don't need. I know people that's not slept. They can't go out of their house. They're afraid to do anything at all and scared to death of everything. But look here. We need to have the peace of God. Not only do we have peace of God, we have access with God. And so therefore, you say, preacher, what'd you do when you found out you had it? I did the same thing I before I had it. I prayed. I said, God, I don't know where this is going to take me, but I know you're still on your throne. And so therefore, we have that access. Why? Because we've been justified. You know, I feel sorry for people that's not. What do they have? What do they depend upon? Look back if you would. Not only does justification bring peace and access, but it also brings a blessed hope. Look in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know what I like? Come on, Lord. I hate it for the people that's not ready. But I'm going to let you know something. There's always going to be people not ready. And I'm of a mind that I think the longer it prolongs, the more people are not going to be ready. Because I tell you what, it wasn't many years ago where we saw people walking this aisle all the time. Don't see people walking aisle no more. Don't see many people. And so therefore, we have a hope. And look here, if Jesus holds back his coming, God can still do whatever he wants to. He can turn the hearts of the king if he wants to. He could turn President Biden's heart if he wants to. He could take him out. He could put somebody else up. He could allow America just go under. And to be honest with you, in prophecy, I don't know that maybe that's not what's going to happen one of these days. But anyway, looking back, I'll leave that up to God. I won't get involved in that. But look back. Not only that, but notice if you would in verse 3. And not only so, but we glory what? In tribulations. Also knowing that tribulation worketh with patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. In other words, it brings spiritual growth to us. Somebody asked me what this is. I said, it's a golden chain that God uses to help us grow. I mean, how many of you have ever gone through an experience before in your life of tribulation? You know what tribulation does? I've gone over this before, and I'm not going to spend time on it. But the word tribulation means that you're being pressed down by the thumb of God. And sometimes God presses it down. Sometimes the humble is like you're talking about, Brother Eric. But he presses it down. We go through these periods. Tribulations. And tribulation worketh patience. The word patience is the same word in James chapter 5, verse 12, that's found with Job and his patience. It means that he endured it. Job didn't like it. Job didn't wake up every morning saying, boy, I just enjoy all these boils on my body. I believe I'll just have another blessed day and just scrape things off. He was miserable, but he endured. And the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. It helps us endure. And so I feel that we're going to have some patience during this process. We're going to have to endure some things that we're not going to like at all. But the Bible says every time that we go through that, it's an experience. Now, experience is something we can go back on. And, you know, there used to be you ladies would know who it is. There used to be a home interior put out the sand, walking in sand, find out you want footprints. And, you know, experience, what that does is we look back on it. And sometimes as we were going through it, we thought it was the worst time of our life. But when we look back on it, we thought, wow, God was doing this in my life and I didn't even realize it. And sometimes we see something that God brought out that would never happen had we not went through that process. And so he puts us through experience. And then that Bible says that experience then gives us a hope that we need not be ashamed. Why does it say that we shouldn't be ashamed of? Because people think we're stupid. When we're going through something and when we should be falling all pieces, I'm just trusting the Lord. They say, well, that's foolish. No, you don't get it. You see, he brought me through the last one. He'll take me through this one too. And look here. And verse 5 says that not only does justification bring that work of grace in my life, but it also brings love that the Holy Spirit of God sheds abroad in my heart. You know the amazing thing? Now get this a minute. Sometimes when I've gone through an experience and I get on the other side, I like to say that I faced them all with the grace and the humility of Paul, but I didn't. Sometimes I got on the other side and I was saying, God, why? But then somewhere along the way I came to realize that God was doing something. And I realized that God put me through that to help me. And I realized that all things do work for the good of those that love the Lord. And so what happened is, eventually what that experience did was, not only does it give me hope when I go through another one, but I found myself loving the Lord more than I loved him before. And so therefore, people said, well, a lot of people looks at you and they say, they're like Job's wife. Why don't you just curse God since you're going through that and give up? But yet something inside of you, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you come out on the other side, it's just like with Job. Job realized God had a reason. God definitely had a right. But God had a reward when he went all the way through it. And we never know until we get to the other side. And so therefore, I don't know what may come. But this one thing I know. I am justified. I am justified, and I thank God that I don't have to depend upon Billy Miller. I'm depending upon Jesus. Amen. And therefore, I'm just trusting in him. And when I have issues, I'm going to try to keep my mind where I can rejoice, where I can where the, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I'm going to try to be of good cheer and try to have a good outlook and just trust God. And then I'm going to run to access when I need access. I'm going to pray that I will grow where God puts me through growth periods. And I just pray that God just increases my love for not only Him, but for saints, sanctuary, scriptures, and sinners. Amen. Let's stand. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved, and God's dealing your heart about being saved. Some of you young people, you'll come to the age, you'll come to a time when God's dealing your heart, you need to step out. When you feel the Spirit of God drawing you, that's time to come. When you realize and you recognize you, it's not you, it's Jesus and what He did. And it's you believing upon Him, you need to come. The Bible teaches us that we are to confess. And we are to make that confession and not be ashamed of Christ. And we are to come. And maybe you need to come this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Brother Billy, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. And I need to follow the Lord in baptism. Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is also a witness to the world that you have chosen to follow Him and that you're going to walk in the newness of life and newness of man that God has created in you. And you may need to come and say, Brother Billy, I need to be baptized. I want to join the church and need to come. It may be something else that God's dealing with your heart. Would you come as we sing?